What if the temptation you keep flirting with is quietly plotting your destruction, and you are handing it the scissors to cut off your strength? Let's unpack how sin first deceives and then kills. Then let's examine scripture how to stop dancing with Delilah before we wake up spiritually blind and in chains. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington, fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org. Hey, I am so excited that you are tuning in today. If you haven't registered your position either on our app or by going to fpiwaction.org to do that, we believe that the scriptures are very clear that we are to allow our voice to be heard for those around us. Let me just give you that scripture in case you want to read it a little bit later. It's Proverbs 31, 8 through 9. And so check that out, Proverbs 31, 8 through 9. It commands us as Christians to allow our voice to be heard. If you're enjoying these daily devotions, we are in a series called Sin in My Life. I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, comment, and place in that Washington Defender huddle within the app. And I'll be doing some lessons a little bit later today to show you how to do that. So let's dive into the Word of God and check it out today. Today we're going to look at, have you ever been deceived by sin? So Romans 7, 9 through 12, I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin became alive and I died. And this commandment, which was to result in life, proved to result in death for me. For sin, look at that right there, for sin, taking an opportunity through the commandment, for sin deceived me and sin killed me, and through it killed me. So then the law is holy and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. So the law is good, righteous and holy. All right. So the two things that we're going to look at today is sin deceives and sin kills. And so I'm going to share some stories about from the Old Testament about how sin deceives. I'm going to think I do three of those and then three of how sin kills. So in the Genesis account, in Genesis 3, 1 through 6, it says, now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the tree of the garden we may eat, but from the tree of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat. All right, so we have the serpent. We have all those things that are happening. And watch what Eve does right here. You shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. And the serpent said, you shall surely not die, for God knows that in the day that you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. So, sin started out with deception. Hey, you're not going to die. You're just going to be more like God. You're going to know the difference between good and evil. Hasn't that been like that in our lives where we, hey, you're just going to have this high or this relaxation or this little party or this little thing. And it seems as if it is something that's going to be so amazing. And then we are deceived by sin. A number two example is with Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel were bringing their sacrifices before the Lord. And we learn this one principle that is important about sin. Then the Lord God said to Cain, why are you angry and why has your countenance fallen? So if you have fallen countenance, and you are walking in willful disobedience to God, this is the solution. If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? Do things that honor and glorify God. Do the things that please Him. When we look at whatever you do, do all for the glory of God, whether you eat or drink, whatever it might be. And so if you do what's well, your countenance will be lifted up. So sometimes doing precedes feelings. Doing produces the feelings and the emotions that we want to do. So if I want to experience joy, what do? I'm a person who goes out and I share the joy of the Lord with others. I serve others, and then I get joy from that. And you're like, wow. So if I want to change my inward feelings and not be deceived by sin, where I got to feel something to do something, I'm going to do it first. I'm going to obey God first. And then that will generate within my soul, within my spirit, the emotions, the thoughts, and the desires that I want to have. And he says, if you do not do well, sin is crouching at your door and its desire is for you, but you must master it. All right. So there's two examples, Cain and Abel. There we have Adam and Eve. Now let's go to Judges 16. It says, now Samson went to Gaza. Whoa, isn't that interesting? To Gaza and saw a harlot there and went into her. When it was told to the Gazites, saying, Samson has come here, they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city. And they kept silent all night, saying, let us wait until the morning light, then we will kill him. Now Samson lay until midnight, and at midnight he arose and took hold of the doors of the gate and the two posts and pulled them up along with the bars. Then he put them on his shoulders and carried them up to the top of the mountain, which is opposite of Hebron. After this, it came about that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Now, here we have Gaza. We have Samson acting sinfully and laying with a harlot or sleeping with a harlot. And he falls in love with Delilah. And the Lord of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, entice him and see where his great strength lies and how we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him. Then we will each give you 1,100 pieces of silver. So Delilah said to Samson, please tell me where your great strength is and how you may be bound to afflict you. Now, isn't this just like sin? It comes knocking on your door and you got to master it. And if you don't, it's asking you, tell me how you're walking with the Lord and how you're growing in the things of God and how you're doing this and how you're doing that. Where does your strength come from? Because so many of you are wound up in lives that don't please and honor God because you have danced with sin. You have danced with Delilah. And you say, how do you know this, Pastor Brian? Because at certain times, I've done it as well. And God wants us to know the source of our strength is Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus, and not to play around or dance with Delilah. And Samson said to her, if you bind me with 7 fresh cords that have not been dried, then I will become weak and be like any other man. Then the Lord of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh cords that had been dried, and she bound him with them. Now she had men lying in the wait in the inner room, and she said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he snapped the cords as a string of tow snaps when it touches fire. So his strength was discovered. So think about this for a moment. Here we have Delilah testing the waters, you might say, and making it so that she can see if he's telling the truth. Now, sin is the same way in our life today. It's going to knock on our door and test us. And you're going to see God always provides a way out. Then Delilah said to Samson, behold, you have deceived me and told me lies. Now, please tell me how you may be bound. Do you see how sin deceives? And he said to her, if you bind me tightly with new ropes, which have not been used, then I will become weak and be like any other man. So Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. For the men were lying in wait in the inner room, but he snapped the ropes from his arms like a thread. Then Delilah said to Samson, up to now you have deceived me and told me lies. Tell me how you may be bound. I just got to tell you guys, that sin that you have been dancing with and then you have been sharing and sharing and sharing and playing around with, I want to encourage you, run from Delilah, run from this thing. It's going to deceive you. You might be thinking you're deceiving Delilah, but you're not. If you weave the 7 locks of my hair with the web and fasten it with a pin, then I will become weak and be like other men. Do you see how he went from this to this, to his hair. And remember, he wasn't supposed to cut his hair. So while he was asleep, Delilah took the 7 locks of his hair and wove them into the web, and she fastened it with the pin and said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But he awoke from his sleep and pulled out the pin of the loom and the web. Then she said, "How can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have deceived me these 3 times and have not told me where your great strength is." Isn't that just like us? We're messing around with sin. We're playing around. It's deceiving us, and we think we're deceiving it. And we're getting closer and closer and closer to the source of our strength. Don't be prideful and say, "Oh, I would never be like Samson." Be humble and say, "Lord, are there areas of my life that as I go into the public square that I am dancing with Delilah, that I am somehow playing around with sin, thinking I'm deceiving sin, and it's actually deceiving me?" It came about when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him that his soul was annoyed to death. I love that. See, our soul, our mind, our will, and emotions can get annoyed to death. We're like, we get so tired of it. So he told her all that was in his heart and said to her, "A razor has never come on my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaved, then my strength will leave me, and I will become weak and be like any other man." Now he tells the secret. He shares the source of his strength. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all that was in his heart, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines and said, "Come up once more, for he has told me all that is in his heart." Then the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hands. She made him sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to afflict him, and his strength left him. This is how we get trapped. We start dancing with Delilah. We start trying to deceive deception, and deception out deceives us. "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And he woke from his sleep and said, "I will get out as at other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes, and they brought him to Gaza. Look at that, Gaza again. And bound him with the bronze chains, and he was a grinder in the prison. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it had shaved. Now the Lord of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice, for they said, "Our God has given us Samson, our enemy, into our hands." And when the people saw him, they praised their god, for they said, "Our God has given our enemy into our hands, even the destroyer of our country, who has slain many of us." It so happened when they were in high spirits that they said, "Call for Samson that he may amuse us." Isn't it just like sin? It entraps you and then it messes with you. So they called for Samson from the prison, and he entertained them, and they made him stand between the pillars. Then Samson said to the boy who was holding his hand, "Let me feel the pillars on which the house rests, that I may lean against them." Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and about 3,000 men and women were on the roof looking on while Samson was amusing them. Then Samson called to the Lord and said, "O Lord God, please remember me, and please strengthen me just this time, O God, that I may at once be avenged of the Philistines for my 2 eyes." Samson grasped the 2 middle pillars on which the house rested and braced himself against them, the one with his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bent with all his might so that the house fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead whom he killed at the death were more than those whom he killed in his life. Then his brothers and all his father's household came down and took him, brought him up, and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the tomb of Moni, his father. This he had judged Israel 20 years. So do you see Samson's trap? Deception, trying to deceive deception, and eventually deception deceives you. Most of the sin in our life, we dance around just like Samson did. But not only does sin want to deceive you, he wants to kill you. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me injures himself. All those who hate me love death. Remember, be a person who loves life. Proverbs 8:35-36. Jeremiah 17:9-10. The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who could understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. Don't trust your heart. It ends up killing you. We see that Pharaoh was the same in Exodus 8:15. But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and did not listen to them as the Lord had said. So Pharaoh hardened his heart. And look at what God's response. And the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. So once Pharaoh hardened his heart, the Lord said, okay, fine. I'm going to harden your heart even more, just as the Lord has spoken. So what's the solution to all this? As you go throughout your day today, is sin trying to deceive you? Yes. Is sin trying to kill you? Yes. The enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus has come that you may have life and have it abundantly. But I want to give you this one principle as we wrap up today. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. The temptations that you go through right now, do not dance with them. And you're not a big deal. It's what we all struggle with. We all struggle with the same things. Don't expect your sin to be celebrated, to be acknowledged and accepted in culture. We all have the same tendencies and struggles. All sin, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as common to man. Look at this. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Look at it. The problem is not with God. He never allows you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with each temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. So if we go back to Samson, well, one, he shouldn't have went down to a harlot in Gaza. Two, he shouldn't have hooked up and shacked up with Delilah. Those are two obvious things. But then when he started talking about the source of his strength, he shouldn't have played around with sin. Cords, green cords, hair in a web, all this kind of stuff. He got closer and closer until he finally shared the source of his strength. He had the way of escape so many times, yet he never chose to do it. He loved the passing pleasures of this world. Are you going to be like Samson, where the enemy gouges out your eyes and is amused by your fallenness? Or are you going to be like our Savior, Jesus Christ, who offers up his flesh and his life on the cross, and pick up your cross today and follow after Jesus? Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. All of this ends up being idolatry. Samson and his desire for pleasure and his source of his strength was all turned into idolatry. Today, don't be deceived by sin. And today, don't let sin kill you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day. And Lord, we just run from the deception that sin can bring life. It only brings death. Whatever the title of our sin is, whatever the action of our sin is that tries to entice us, Lord, we have died with Christ and our life is now hidden in our Savior. We no longer dance with Delilah. We no longer debate with deception. We no longer do any of those things, but we walk with you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the source of life and liberty and freedom and the source of all hope. Would you bring hope to Washington State? We pray over this legislative session. God, let our legislators not dance with deception, that they are gods or that they are able to do things upon themselves. Let them sit in the reality that they are servants of Almighty God. Go before us in all things, God. Surround us in all things. Use us mightily today. God, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that Champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.